Before you start your next do-it-yourself project, listen to this. You Got This is on the air. You Got This is hosted by ABT Plumbing Electric Heat and Air owner Andrew Twidwell and Rosalie Brown. With a helpful hand, here are Andrew and Rosalie.
Hi, this is Andrew Twidwell, owner of ABT Plumbing Electric Heat and Air. Once again, with the show You Got This, it's a show of DIY do's and don'ts. And I've got Rosalie Brown on the air as well. We're zooming in. She's zooming in from Dana Point. I'm zooming in from my spare guest room in Grass Valley, looking out at the kind of, you know, we're recording this on Wednesday. It's a little bit of a gray day today. We actually got rain, which is kind of unexpected. My wife was out running and she got rained on, so that was fun for her. But yeah, we're here and busy doing a bunch of spring cleaning stuff. I know it's not spring yet, but just trying to get things together in the new year because, you know, 2020 has already turned out to be an interesting year. So
2021?
We're in 2021. 2020 was an interesting year and 2021 is turning into a very interesting year. And right now I'm just trying to clear out all the cobwebs and get stuff together. I spent all day yesterday working on the shop with a couple of my coworkers and just clearing out all the detritus that we've picked up over the past couple of years. And you got to do that every once in a while, right? It's like doing dishes. It just never ends. There's always another, as soon as you're done, there's always more dishes in the sink. And that's kind of the same thing that happens at our shop. You bring in, you go to a job site, there's stuff that you don't use. It comes back. And then what do you do with it? So yeah. So Restore got a very nice donation yesterday because there's a lot of stuff that we had that was still very good, but things that we could not utilize any longer and things that we could not sell that we actually, like furnaces and things that were perfectly in functioning conditions. They were just scratched and dented, but we're not going to be installing things like that for our client. So yeah, it's been an interesting couple of days working on the house. We seeded the lawn. How about you? What have you been up to?
Well, nothing that amazing. Wow. I was kind of stuck in time. I was picturing as soon as you started talking about cleaning things out. And so, I grew up with a contractor father and man, it reminds me of, I immediately went back to a visual I have of, we lived in a pretty, big house. My dad built it and it had a, back before people had, dual garages. My dad had the dual garage because of course. And one year my dad got a boat, like a ski boat, like a jet boat, like the big deal. And I can still see both of the garage doors open and the boat taking up one half of the garage. And then the car taking it. My dad had like four or five cars, one of the cars in the bay of the garage. And like you'd wake up on a Saturday morning. And if you looked out your window and saw both garage doors open, oh no, because that meant dad was up, he was in the garage and you better get down there and start helping him. Now, kids I don't know where things go, right? Yeah. So me and my brother would just be like, oh no, like we can't go play. And so we would literally watch my dad and you could never figure out like what his process was, right? But it made sense to him. He had all these tool bays and he had all this stuff. And so it would like, you'd have to take each box out and you'd take it all out, put it on the driveway, Yeah. And then you have to go in with a big shop broom. And I just remember, having to wear, and I just remember as a kid going, Dad, it looks the exact same. We put everything right back, And sometimes I thought, is this just because my dad didn't have anything else to do on a Saturday? But I think that it was something for him. Like he just knew there was that one tool or he just knew there was that one.
Well, it's cathartic to get it organized. Right. And that was kind of what,
apparently so. I'm not a big fan of that kind of work, but I get it.
My father actually never actually cleaned the shop. So my father was a pack rat and never cleaned anything. But I'm trying not to perpetuate that legacy. Trying to make sure we have an organized shop.
It's pretty great though too to get some stuff up to the Restore. I mean, back when I was a kid doing this with my dad, I don't remember where stuff went. I think it went to the landfill. Because usually
back
after
when there
these
were landfills,
I mean, I do remember like after these like big days of like horror for us, we would have to load up the back of one of his pickup trucks, and we'd have to, I don't know why, like we always had to go with him to the dump. But I remember just being like, that was like the worst thing in the world. It stunk and this and that. And the
seagulls. Didn't like going to the dumps?
No, and the seagulls. I just remember the screeching of the seagulls, and it was just like that. I'm literally right now playing it in my mind. But I remember, you know, you couldn't. I don't remember there being like a restore option. So
no, it was landfill. I remember that was one of my favorite things, going to dumps with my dad. It was out in Colma, in South San, near South San Francisco, and still when there was a landfill, right? We actually, it wasn't a transfer station. You actually took the stuff, and it was still when you could get out of the car and poke around through stuff. And so it was the best. I mean, we'd come home. Yeah, I was a poor kid, and I'd come home with some really cool toys or stuff, and
you stunk. And, you stunk really bad. I promise
well, I
you.
I always stunk anyway. Yeah. But I was a boy, you know, who took showers or brushed their teeth? I mean,
and gosh, then we lived through the, and then we lived through the drought, right? So I remember that period of time where we were only bathing once a week because we were supposed to conserve water, and I remember like really thinking that was the coolest thing ever. So then when the drought was over, I was like, what do you mean we gotta bathe more frequently? Like, what was wrong with that, you know? And my parents were like pretty adamant about, no, the drought is over, our children are not going to be disgusting anymore. So good time. 70s and 80s were a good rock and roll time.
Oh my goodness, the stuff that you could do, riding in the back of pickup trucks, going outside in the dumps, riding on motorcycles without helmets, and riding mini bikes as a kid, and
I remember helmets. The mini bikes. I remember
that. I was thinking about, like, I can't remember why I was thinking about it, but I guess because I had a bicycle wreck not too long ago, and a memory popped up in my brain about a bicycle wreck that I had when I was like 15, and how I don't really remember a lot of it, and then suddenly dawned on me, like, wow, I think I must have gotten a concussion, and went home, and then kind of played it off like it was nothing and didn't go to the hospital or anything like that. And somebody actually had to drive me home. Some passerby saw me and said, I do remember, said I didn't look so good. So I was probably, you know, like my eyes were probably rolling in the back of my head or whatever, because I hit my head pretty hard. I do remember that. But yeah, it was one of those things like, oh yeah, a helmet would have been good. I know why I was thinking about it, because we just got my nephew a new mountain bike, and I'm like, God, I hope he's wearing his helmet. That's why I was thinking. He's 16 and he has a tendency not to wear his helmet, and I was reminding him of some bad things that could happen to him if he didn't.
Well, you could say, you know, okay, nephew, some might argue that your Uncle Andrew's head trauma as a child might have affected his life, and somehow we're still figuring that out as we go. I mean, didn't get it treated.
I'll never forget. I was like 19, and I was in a class with some other people. I was in an acting class with some friends, and this one gentleman was a bicyclist, and he was quite a bit older than me. He was probably in his 30s or something. Yeah, older. Yeah, looking back, like, yeah, kid. But I was mentioning that, yeah, I don't have a helmet, and like the next time around, the next class, he brought me a helmet. One of his older helmets, and he's like, you know, you just really don't want to have to relearn the alphabet. I had a friend that had to literally relearn the alphabet from a bike wreck. I'm like, and that has stuck with me for going on 30 years now, going past 30 years. Like, oh yeah, I don't want to relearn the alphabet. I need to wear my helmet.
Oh, yeah. That's a good analogy.
Brain trauma is bad. It's not good.
That's a good analogy.
But anyway, on that fine note, we should probably talk about some DIY stuff. So I've been working on the house, working on the office, working on the shop. And it got us thinking about, you know, spring is coming. I mean, we're in January now, so we're only talking, you know, March, April is like right around the corner, right? Just a few more months away. And one of the things that came up is something we've talked about before, but I really like this concept. I really like this idea. And and in these times of social distancing and having gatherings at my house, we utilize this thing in our house all the time. And that's an outdoor fire pit. It's huge. Especially in this time of COVID and social distancing, you know, we're having all of our social gatherings outside with our friends and family members. And a fire pit really makes that doable. And in California, it's totally doable. I know we had some friends over last Friday and it got down to like 39, but we had two fire pits going. And we were kind of bundled up in blankets and we were fine. We were actually able to hang out till, gosh, like 10 o'clock. And 10 o'clock.
On a Friday night.
That's a Friday night. That's a late night for me, right? It's all relative.
I got it.
A fire pit is a really, really handy thing. And that's one of the things we'll be sharing on the website, kind of how to's. And this one is particularly cool because it's really inexpensive. And this is just building a fire ring in your yard. And I know I did one at our last house where, you know, I simply put one in the front yard of our house up on Banner Mountain Lookout, dug a big pit. And since we get, you know, since when it does rain here, sometimes it rains a lot, you want to dig a really big pit because you don't want it to fill up. And what I ended up doing is I ended up digging a pit about 2.5 to 3 feet deep and about 2.5 to 3 feet in diameter, and then filled it full of gravel up to about 6-inch depth so that I had a lot of base rock in there that could take a lot of the water, and it could fill up and act as a reservoir to allow the water to actually drain down, depending on the percolation of the soil. And then I rung it with rocks that I had on the property. This one is a little nicer that it uses Keystone concrete retaining wall stones are very inexpensive. And a lot of times you can find them at Restore. I know I've got a ton on the property that are just kind of piled around because we've removed some because they were just in the wrong spot when we moved here. But it makes for a very nice, very ambient kind of way of actually having friends over in this time of social distancing. And even after social distancing, when we installed that thing, it was, gosh, we're going back 9 years, I think, was when I built my first one. And no, I actually had one on Quaker Hill Cross too. That wasn't quite as nice. But we use those things all the time. Oh, that reminds me. Yeah, Thanksgiving, gosh, 15 years ago, we had outside because it was about 55, 60 degrees. And we had just remodeled the kitchen, so it was a little messy in the house. And we built a fire in our fire pit and had about 15 family members standing around the fire pit drinking champagne. It was a fun day.
Isn't it funny how people that live in the mountains, like it gets to be like 55, 60 and you're like, oh, it's perfect outside weather, you know? And the rest of us are like, oh, it's 60 out. Oh, it's chilly. Like, you know, I'm like, oh, it's a little damp. I better go inside. Like the second there's a breeze, I'm like, oh, where's my sweatshirt? You know,
you get acclimated, right?
You do. You totally do. And
I mean, I remember talking to my niece and nephew that lived outside of Chicago. And we were talking about when schools closed for them. And they're like, yeah, you know, when it's 32, that's a hoodie day. You know, they didn't even put their big jackets on until it's below like zero.
I'm not even kidding.
Way below freezing.
I'm not even exaggerating when I say this. I might get the temperature wrong, but having lived in Detroit, if it is, I would say people, well, dudes, not as many women, put it that way, but dudes are wearing flip-flops and shorts well into like 30, 33, you know, once we get into the 30s down to the 20s, then there's probably pants.
They'll put pants and maybe sneakers. Yeah.
But I mean, like it's a nice day, you know, just like, I don't get it. I mean, I guess like you said, your body does acclimate though. So if it's a place you're always from, I think you probably would think that most West Coasters are kind of a little bit light.
We're coddled.
You know?
Yeah.
Right.
We're definitely coddled. Yeah.
But I will say, you know, if they can do whatever they want, if they're able to live through those winters and still be happy people, hey, I'm toasting you with champagne at Thanksgiving too. I'm just going to do it inside my house. But I think that that's amazing because the bone chilling cold that you will experience in the middle of the country and up north, whoo, you know, it's not for everybody. Definitely. No. It's a game changer.
And we don't have that really, right? I mean, I remember skiing a lot with the kids and, you know, a cold day.
You're cold, but it's
in the 20s, but it's not like,
it's not chilling your body. Yeah. It's different. It's interesting.
And you put a fire pit in and then you kind of take that little bit of chill away. So it's a great, and it's a very simple project. You know, the one I did up on Banner Mountain Lookout was literally just a pit with some gravel. And it wasn't even like I went out and bought gravel. I just collected some gravel from the property. And because you didn't need much, you need like a bucket or two and some random stones that were in 6 to 12 inches of diameter that were easily moved and surrounded it. And that thing was great. I went a step further in this property just because I'm getting older and I don't like to actually have to light fires now. It's just, you know, I put everything with either propane or natural gas. But that's another thing you could do is, you know, you could actually do this, and they make little kits that you can get pretty much, you know, online anywhere. And even at the hardware store, whether you have like a little circle of pipe with holes in it, or a straight piece of pipe with holes in it, and then attach a flexible line to a propane tank. And then now you've got an outdoor propane grill, and that those kits are under $100. So you don't necessarily have to buy a grill. You can make one yourself and have it look really cool and have a gas grill outside of your house. You can go a step further. Go ahead.
Oh, so I was just going to say, so one of the things that you guys do at ABT is if someone wanted to do something kind of elaborate and wanted to put in the gas line, but didn't want to deal with all the hecticness of it, right? You can call a plumber to do that, right? That kind of work?
We run gas lines to barbecues, to fire pits, to spas, to generators, to all sorts of things all the time.
Oh, I like the spa idea. Let's talk about that. I would like a spa. I would like a spa very much.
And we put outlets in and we put power in for them as well. But yeah, so you can have one that just run a gas line to it and do some really cool stuff. And you can use some native rock and it looks fabulous. We get a lot of use out of our fire pit. I mean, I was sitting out there the other, like 2 days ago when it was
I think it's a great investment, and just in your time, and it's a fun project to do. And it just, like you said, if you can live in a place where, you know, you can get some use out of your yard, I say that's awesome.
Take advantage of it. And and most of us have a lot of firewood on our property. So it's a good way to get, you know, utilize that firewood. And in this time, it's really nice to have a place to actually go outside, because, you know, we're stuck. A lot of us are stuck inside our homes a lot more than we'd like to be, because we're not necessarily going into the office as much as we used to. We're not necessarily going out to eat or do things that we normally would do. So it's nice to have a way to go outside and hang out and not freeze to death.
Yeah.
A fire. And also there's just something about staring into a fireplace, right? Staring into a fire.
People are really into that. I'm like, well, I mean, I guess I look, whatever it takes, right? Whatever it takes to get to relax.
Very meditative. I love it. I have fond memories of staring into the fireplace at my friend's cabin when I was like 10.
I can see that. No. I think there's some nostalgia to it for sure. I just, I'm good with it for like, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes. And when I have a brother-in-law who's a former, fire battalion chief. And, so he was a firefighter for years. And so he would, I'd go over to his place in Michigan and they would build up the best bonfire. And it was kind of like to see like how big it get. There's a sport behind it. I totally get into that. But once the excitement's died down after a while, I'm like, all right, I'm good. You know, so it's just
time to move on. Yeah.
For everybody, you know, to each their own.
Yeah. So we got one more topic that you found us, and that's build a garden shed. And I've got two sheds on my property because I've got a very tiny garage. So I utilize our sheds a lot, and I'm looking and putting in another one. And I've been going down this rabbit hole for a couple years now, just because I haven't quite pulled the trigger, because it takes me a while sometimes to do this. But it brought up, this little article brought up a lot of good questions for me and some good answers, but there's quite a few ways of actually achieving getting a shed in your house, right? Some of the easier ones are just going and buying one of those Rubbermaid plastic ones. If you just need a little bit of space, I know we've got one of those that we use for our outdoor cushions, and those things just snap together in about 15 minutes. Great things. If you need something a little bit larger, you know, if you like need like an 8x10 structure on your property, another really easy way to do that is just get a prefab, pre-made one. And they'll literally bring it to your house and drop it on the pad that you put in. So that does take some little bit of physical work to prepare the area that you're going to put it. You know, you're going to want to put either some railroad ties down, and you want to grade it and put some railroad ties down and make sure that's level, or you're going to want to put some concrete pads or completely level it out and put some gravel down. There's a couple ways of doing it. And there's a bunch of videos on that. If you want to look it up, just look up installing a shed on your property on YouTube and you'll find a bunch. But the prefab ones are really nice and they're not terribly expensive. I mean, you're talking a couple grand, and that's a really easy one. Next, if you want something a little bit bigger, or even if you don't want something a little bit bigger, but you want to save a little bit of money, you can get a kit that's already all the lumber and everything's that's already been cut and everything. And then it's just a matter, it's like it's not totally like Legos because you have to use fasteners, you have to use nails and screws, but everything's all ready for you. So then it's just a matter of assembling it. So there's very little use of saws and things. You're mainly just using, you know, a shovel, a level, a hammer, and some way of drilling holes and putting screws and bolts in. And that's, you know, so that's a level up, right, from having a prefab one, having a kit. And those are even less expensive than buying the prefabricated ones. And then next step is making one from scratch. And you can save quite a bit of money if you just make it from scratch. But I have been surprised at finding out that you don't save that much money compared to a one that's a kit, because the material is pretty expensive, especially if you buy it I should say it can be expensive, because lumber is not cheap. So I mean, it could still cost you a grand or something depending on the size, or more depending on how big you want to go. But that is another way of doing it, is just building one up from scratch, because then you can build one the way you want it. And it may, you know, especially if you've got a tight lot where you got to get through a small area, you may not be able to get a big one dropped off on your property because you got fences or whatever. Yeah, you literally have to build it in your backyard. But those are some ways to get some more storage. And then, you know, right now, you know, we're cleaning the house, we're organizing, and, you know, there may be some stuff that you want to keep around, and that's a place where you can put it. But then I'm just going to end it with one of the best ways that I found to build a shed is just to kind of purge. I've been working on that myself.
You mean
purge all your stuff?
Avoid having to build a shed.
Avoid having to build a shed. Save your money and get rid of your stuff.
Hey, I'm all for that. So listen, before we go, I don't know the time here, but we have to mention one more thing. One more thing we have to talk about. So today, the day the show is airing, if you hear it on the, I mean, who doesn't race to the radio to listen to this? Come on.
I know.
You know, I don't want to know, don't answer. But listen, so today's the last day. And there's this really cool contest. If you're from Nevada County, you know about this. It's the Unions Contest. It's the best of Nevada County. Every year we campaign. Some years we do better than others, but we try to get your vote for the best of, for plumber, for HVAC, and for electrical. And we will take a crown in any one, if not all three of those categories. We're happy to do it. We would love to get your vote. It just makes us feel, I don't know. Is it an ego win? Let's be honest. It kind of is.
Oh,
right?
It's ego. It's totally ego. Cause it really has nothing. No. Yeah.
I mean, it's great, right? Yeah. Like it's fantastic. But if you just take a time to go to theunion.com, they have banners, kind of, it's obvious. You just follow through, click throughs, and you get to their voting. And
it's really easy. It took me all of 15 minutes, I think.
Right. Because you don't just vote for ABT, of course. You vote for other really cool
You got to vote for a certain number. I think it's, you know, you got to do at least half the categories or something like that.
It's kind of neat though, because quite frankly, when you're doing those things, you kind of look back at I forgot about that, you know,
company. Exactly. Or I forgot about the companies that you
are great. Yeah. And so it's nice to be able to kind of vote without having any, I would say it's the one time you can vote without any drama around it, because no one's ever going to find out who you voted for.
Yeah.
And no one's going to get really upset. And then we're going to create a really cool ad. We were actually kicking around some ad concepts earlier. So it's just kind of our way of having fun and promoting how much we enjoy doing business in Nevada County and being there for customers and clients. So that's my plug.
Cool. And then, and this month of January, we're doing what we can for first responders and healthcare workers. So if you are a healthcare worker or first responders, we're doing a free service call and get us to your house for $0 to look at the problem. So please take advantage of that if you are one of the heroes that are actually working in those career paths, because industries, because it's rough, man. I got quite a few friends that are in that industry, and quite a few doctor friends. And then lastly, you can find us on the web at as easy as ABT. You can find us on Facebook, and you can get a hold of us at 530-272-9120 for all your plumbing, electrical, heating, and air conditioning needs and generators. And with that, I guess that's a show. We'll catch you guys next week. Thanks so much. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Rosalie. Now let's get that project started. You got this. We'll be back next Friday morning at 9 o'clock on KNCO News Talk 830.